Thank you for listening to the Prairie Oaks Pulpit Podcast. This is a recording of our Sunday morning sermons. I hope it is a blessing to you and contributes to your spiritual growth. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting this ministry. God bless. Now let's get to the sermon. Okay, we're going to start with just one verse, but we're incorporating a lot from what we've already kind of done in Romans chapter 6. And so just to kind of set it, it's a very familiar verse, right? I'm guessing a lot of you have heard it before. Did it not come on? There it goes. I would hope it's kind of a familiar verse. But to get the context, because he uses a couple key terms that the context should help elaborate for us. Because as you saw in Romans chapter 6, he was telling us that we were slaves to sin. We worked for sin. As he was our employer, and that was who we were getting our wages from. And we were freed from that. It was not a situation where you could just quit. You know, we're used to that in this country. People go from job to job, or even if you work for yourself, it's a little harder to quit, but you still have those options. But in a slave context, you didn't. You needed someone on the outside to rescue you, to redeem you, to pay the ransom. And as we've seen in the book of Romans, in the letter that he wrote to them, Christ redeemed us, rescued us from our slavery, our death to sin. And we've been given a new life, new empowerment, and new identity. And in that, we are now, as we saw earlier in chapter 6, slaves of God. Whole new master. Whole new Lord. We use that as a title, but we kind of forget what the meaning is of that word, but that's what it is. Master. And so, and a whole new way of relating to that master, that Lord. And so we want to unpack some of those thoughts as we look at this. But as you look at Romans 6:23, in fact, let's stand, let's treat this verse like we do all of God's word. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. In fact, let's pray. Father, we're thankful for this time together. We thank you, Lord, for each one that's come in anticipation of your word, of the singing, of prayer and fellowship. Lord, all this comes together as a part of us worshiping you, Lord, to ascribe glory to you that is yours alone. And you are worthy of more than we give because of who you are and because of what you have done and because of what you are doing and because of what you will do according to your promises. And we thank you, O God, that you have lavished such generous love and grace and mercy upon us in your righteousness and holiness. Guide my words and my thoughts to accurately teach your word. Open all of our hearts to your word through your Holy Spirit, Lord, that the lost would be saved, that lives would be transformed, and that your name would be praised, both here and throughout the world, your kingdom come. And in the name of Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, and the Lord of Lords, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. And so as we read that verse, you hear it then, right? Wages. We work for wages. That's You know, I don't know everybody's work experience. I've had more jobs than I care to try to count right now. And I look back over them and I've been blessed. I've not had a job that I truly hated. There's been some that I've not really enjoyed. They're not the ones that I brag about, but I've had lots of jobs, from scrubbing out houses to vacuuming floors to all the fun stuff, including being pastor at Prairie Oaks Baptist Church. I see it at the other end of the spectrum, just in case you were curious of the analogy going on there. But in all of those, as I've worked, whether I was paid little or paid a lot, there was payment. I understood that as I was working, I would get paid. And that's our wages, right? And as I look back on that, I never had a job where my paychecks bounced. That's probably unusual, because I'm sure some of you may have had jobs where the paychecks bounced or something like that. There were a few times that the boss would be like, here's hope it goes, and got paid. But I got paid, and it went to the bank, and maybe he was just messing with me. I don't know. But, you know, the check's cashed, you know. I had someone that I could... I respected as a boss or something like that. You know, all these different things. It was kind of a perk that went beyond normally what we see. But by what you see in Romans chapter 6, sin is not that kind of boss, is it? Sin is the boss, the master. Well, what are his wages? It's death. But that's actually the culmination of something that Paul has been describing here. And so as you look in the verses preceding, I want to just highlight a few of the things that go into this. Because we've all served sin. And he says in that, like in verse 19, I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. He just set up the contrast, didn't he? What was one of the things that sin was paying us? It was lawlessness. We were more lawless. Sin demands more and more and more. Sin always takes you farther than you want to go, costs you more than you want to pay, and keeps you longer than you want to stay. Sin is a taker. And what it gives is this increasing lawlessness. A way I would describe it is corruption. Because you know how that rot works. It just spreads. It doesn't stay confined. It doesn't stay in its bubble. It spreads. And that's what sin does. That's one of the things that sin does. It produces greater lawlessness. If you go down farther in verse 21, what fruit do you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? Sin breeds shame. Now, the scriptures tell us the truth. Sin has its pleasure for a season. For a short time, it's fun. For a short time, it gives its pleasure. But each time, it's a little less, isn't it? And it's a lot more shame. And so, I don't know about you, but I have a pretty good guess that you're like me. There's things in our past we are ashamed of. And they're the product of sin. Things that I don't like to visit in my mind, and I don't want to visit in conversation, kind of thing, right? And so we are fooled at times when we think that sin is going to bring a pleasure, make us feel better, because in reality, that's very fleeting and diminishes every time. And it brings more and more corruption and shame. And then ultimately, as we see both in that verse 21 and in verse 23, its wages is death. Death came to steal, kill, and destroy. That's the devil's work. And he knew what he was doing when he tempted Eve in the garden. He was seeking to bring death to God's perfect life creation. He came to steal, kill, and destroy. So then the question is asked, Paul spells it out, why would we work for someone like that? Now let's go back up to where we were. We've been rescued in Christ. We've been redeemed, ransomed, rescued. Now would you moonlight a second job with sin? Paul says, but you are when you still follow those sinful desires. When you yield, when you surrender your parts of your being to sin, you're moonlighting back to that old master who pays corruption, shame, and death. If you had that old boss, you wouldn't go back and work for them, right? But that's what we do when we give in to sin. And so God, in His grace, in His mercy, one of the things He's given us is the ability to say no to the temptation to do that. Because our old flesh, well, that's what we know. You know, just like an old job. Well, I know how to do it. I could do it in my sleep. You know, just like an old job, it's like, well, I guess I was good at it. You know, that's how we feel about our sins sometimes. It's like, well, I don't know what life would be like without it. I always did it. It's easy to do. But instead, God says, so 1 Corinthians 10:13, there's no temptation that has overtaken you except such as common to man. We're all kind of struggling with temptation. Even Christ, in His flesh, suffered under temptation, yet without sin. So He's there to help complete that verse. So there's no temptation except what is common to man. But God is faithful. Even when I'm not, He's faithful. Who will, with a temptation, make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it, to endure it. So He's given you two things there in that, didn't He? He's faithful. Every one of those, He's given you an escape and endurance. Sometimes He gives you an escape. Be like Joseph and run. You know, the Apostle Paul says, flee fornication. Because the fleshly desires, it's hard to outrun yourself, but I've found that you can. Okay, this is too much information, but I'm going to give it to you anyways because it's a very good illustration. I love riding my bike. One of the reasons I love riding my bike is it gives me a way to outrun myself. Because when I've wore myself out on that bike, temptation kind of peels away because I'm just too tired. I'd rather go to sleep. Really? Just being transparent with you here. That's one of the tools God has given for escape, to be able to endure. And I don't know what your temptations are. Maybe you think you know what mine are, and maybe you don't. But whatever those temptations are, God has given us a way of escape. It may not be what you think it is, but He's given us ways of escape. It may be the off button on our phone. It may be to turn the TV off. It may be to talk less to that person. It may be, you know, whatever it is. It may be ride a bike, you know, or go work in the garden or whatever. It's not in the Bible, but idle hands are the devil's workshop. It kind of works that way, though, doesn't it? If I'm keeping busy about God's business, then I'm a lot less tempted. If I'm filling my mind with the things of God, I've got a friend. He has been reading through the Bible like every 3 months. It takes me all year to do it, and he's doing it every 3 months. Why? Because he's trying to keep his mind so filled with the Word of God that it doesn't have time to go to the places that he doesn't want it to go anymore. Because it is the Word of God. We are, oh, help me with the verse here. But it is by the renewing of our mind through the knowledge of God. I think I might be combining a verse in Romans and Ephesians as I say that. But that's the concept behind it. Is we renew our minds with knowledge of Christ. And so he's given us the tools of escape. But he's also given us the tool of endurance. Through his Holy Spirit, he gives us endurance. Because sometimes you can't outrun yourself. Sometimes you can't escape yourself. Whether it's despair, depression, and depression is a clinical thing, and I'm not diminishing that, but there's, in my mind, that is one of the things that I'm trying to outrun. And to not give in to discouragement and to despair, then it is to endure. To remind myself of the hopes of that I have in Christ. Of what I have ahead. So when we were, the songs this morning, they spoke to me. And I'll give two examples. Camping in Canaan Land is such a fun little song to sing. But it's got real promises in there. That one, I have a home in Glory Land that outshines the sun. But I can camp there in my spirit, because I have eternal life. I don't will have. I already have eternal life. And so I can visit that place even now through his word and through the spirit and taste of that even now. Camping in Canaan. But then there's also the conviction in that I think you're going to have to prepare me next time. You're going to have to warn me if we're going to sing My Jesus, I Love Thee. Because that is one of the most moving songs in our hymnal in the way God speaks to me. Because I don't love Jesus that much. Not yet. But oh, it's powerful. As the hymn writer challenges us. To look at how we love Jesus in these circumstances. Because even in those circumstances, we have reason to do so. And so, as we see here, sin is a cruel, horrible master. Don't go working for him on a side job. Don't do a second job with him. And if you're still not rescued, redeemed, and ransomed by Christ, God help you do it today. That's a horrible master to be working for. Because God has given us the tools to no longer work for that master. And instead, we have been purchased by the blood of the Lamb. We have been purchased, bought with his own blood. And now we belong to a better master. We've sinned enough, the Apostle Peter says in his letter. We've sinned enough in the past. Now let's move forward. Serving our new master in righteousness. And that's where, go back to Romans 6:23 for a minute here. So the wages of sin is death, but is it the wages? No, it's the gift of God. This is kind of cool. It's subtle. But if you've, taught the Romans Road enough times, it may resonate with you. It's not wages with God. It's gift. It's grace, unmerited favor. Because, again, here's the reality, is that if it was based on wages, I still ain't doing enough. I still ain't earning enough good to outweigh the bad. I may seem like a really good guy, but you don't live with me. I live with me. Ugh, it wears me out. But God doesn't work on the basis of works, except the work of Jesus Christ, who fulfilled all righteousness for us. And so instead, he goes on the basis of grace and gift. He's the master who gifts. Think about that. It's not just a Christmas where you get a little Christmas bonus or something. Though I realize those of you that work for yourself probably didn't get a Christmas bonus. You just paid more. But if you had a job where you get like a little Christmas bonus or a little Christmas gift or something like that, or maybe it was a good year for the company. Here's your bonus kind of thing. But that's not how God is doing it. Because even then, that's based on works. No, instead, it is all just, it's just a gift. He's the master who gives. Now, that's not to say that our works aren't rewarded. Did not Christ say, "Behold, I come and my reward is with me, my recompense"? So there is that involved, and he wouldn't have said it if he didn't want us to think about it. But this is, in this contrast, in this analogy the Apostle Paul's using, he's using the word gift. It's just, you didn't deserve it, but here you go. Now, if you read through Jesus' stories in the Gospels, you ever noticed how oftentimes there's two bosses described in those? One is the boss that he's exacting justice. Our God is a God of justice. But then our God is also the master that it's like, yeah, I'll forgive you that $1 million debt. There you go. Yeah. He's a horrible boss in that regard because he's not thinking about profits. He's thinking about just being generous, a giving, gracious God, which makes him a wonderful boss if you work for him, right? Even though you didn't deserve it, he just gives it. Here you go. And that's our God as well. So which side of the boss would you want to see? Do you want to be the guy that he's exacting justice from, or do you want to be the boss that is being lavishly gifted? He is still the God of justice. He's a loving father to us, right? Because we're on this side. The one where he's just very gracious. And as a good father, he's like, "Oh, let me get you straightened up here. You're heading back towards the old master of sin. You need steered back towards righteousness. You need steered back towards holiness." In fact, I like how in these same verses he keeps setting that contrast. You're slaves of righteousness, doing what is right. Not my self-righteousness, not the mask I put on that's to just, you know, to impress you, but it doesn't impress him. And righteousness, what he said, you've been set free from sin, having become slaves of God. You have your fruit to holiness. I like even then, he doesn't talk about wages, does he? It's fruit. He switched analogies in the middle of a sentence so that he could do what? Show us that it's not of ourselves. It's God who works in us both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. I think I might have put that in my notes. Philippians 2:12. It's just a good verse. This is a good one. Philippians 2:12. Therefore, my beloved, the Apostle Paul writes, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Because we know who our boss is. He's the God of justice. He's the Father who's going to discipline us when we go astray. Remember that. But work out that salvation. You've been redeemed. You've been ransomed. You've been rescued. You've been gifted with all these things. Now work it out from the inside out. He's given you a new heart. Now look like it. And then comes the rest of the verse, the rest of the sentence. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. He's given me the wanter. He's giving me that because I wouldn't have it otherwise. And he also gives me the ability, the doing. I need that because I don't got either one on my own. Oh, thank you, Lord. And these are the gifts of a God who is also giving us eternal life, both now, camping in Canaan land, and forever. Everlasting, doesn't ever end. And it's in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And so, who are you working for? Are you working for the temporary pleasures, just the things that last today? It is tragic to live a life for things that aren't going to last. Whether it's things or feelings or popularity or whatever those things are, it's not worth it. Not only do those things not last for eternity, but most of them won't last till 2024, even if the Lord tarries. They're not worth it. You can ask all those folks in Hollywood. They know popularity is gone like that. And so, what are we working for? The things that are eternal? For a God who isn't worried about keeping the timesheet so he doesn't give us too much, but instead who is lavishly, generously giving above and beyond so that it's a gift, not wages? Or do we want to go back to work for sin, who brings corruption, shame, and death? But we're going to have a song of invitation. I don't know where the Holy Spirit has been prompting on you, but whether it is for salvation, come and talk to me. If it is for, and there's something in my life, it has got to go. I see the corruption, the shame, and the death. I don't want it there anymore. You can pray where you are, pray at the altars. Maybe you want to pray for someone else, but this is an opportunity to respond as the Holy Spirit is prompting in response to His Word. But will you stand as we sing?